All right, welcome. First Baptist Church here today. It is Father's Day, right? So on Father's Day, we get to have a Father's Day message. And the first thing we're going to do in this message today, which is entitled The Search for Godly Men. So I'm going to read a verse here for you. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. It's just one verse. It's a very powerful verse, especially for us as men today. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And it says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. I found none. What a tragic verse. I found none. Today is Father's Day, right? A day where we honor, we praise, and we thank the Lord, our Heavenly Father, for the gift of earthly fathers. But it's also a day where we, as fathers, we need to examine ourselves, okay? We need to examine ourselves to see if we are meeting the prerequisites of being a godly husband or father. After all, that is our God-given responsibility, right? That's our God-given responsibility as a Christian to be godly in all areas of life. And for you ladies who are listening today, it's important for you to understand this as well. Because as men, as God, the God-ordained under-shepherds of the family, we so desperately need your support. We need your respect. We need your prayers. And understanding what it takes to be a godly husband and a father can help you as women pray for God to develop those specific godly characteristics in your husband and in your father as well. So again, we've said this many times before, and it's so absolutely true, and that is this, that intercessory prayer, that is the number one responsibility of the Christian believer, and it's so important that everybody listen to this message here today. Now, in the family, God has set up a hierarchy, right? He set up this hierarchy within the family structure, and along with the role of godly husband or father comes the very serious responsibility. This is a serious, it's a huge responsibility of modeling our Heavenly Father. In other words, men are commissioned by Almighty God to shepherd the flock that has been placed in their care and to do it in such a way that it reflects and brings glory to the Father. And if you know anything about shepherding, you understand that a true shepherd cares for his sheep, right? A true shepherd cares for his sheep. He leads them, he guides them, he directs them, he comforts them, he protects his sheep. He even disciplines with an attitude of godly love, okay? An attitude of godly love. And as we're going to hear quite often in this message, as men, we are going to be held accountable to Almighty God for how we have cared for those whom we have been placed over. Now, as Christian husbands and fathers, we have the responsibility to think, to act, to work, basically to function as a true godly man is supposed to function, right? And the truth is, we will not function that way unless we are godly men ourselves, right? And in our world today, we are in short supply of godly men, aren't we? All you got to do is turn on the TV and you see it. We are in short supply of godly men. And that's why today I would like us to look at what it takes to be that godly man. In other words, what that godly man looks like. But before we begin, I read something I found to be kind of comical. And I thought, you know, I'd like to share this with you today. I ran across a little humor about men in a message by a pastor by the name Jerry Shirley, and I thought I'd share it with you. It's called the Men's Thesaurus, and it's based on the premise that men don't always say what they mean. I thought these were kind of funny. For example, when a man says it would take too long to explain, what is he really saying? I have no idea how it works, right? When he says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, He's really saying, I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner, right? Or when he says, uh-huh, sure, honey, or yes, dear, he means absolutely nothing. It's just a conditional response, right? How about this one? When a man says, I heard you, what he really means is, I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough that you will not spend the next 3 days yelling at me, right? Or this one, when a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, that means no one will ever see us alive again. And then finally, this one, when a man says, that's not what I meant, what he really means is, if something I said can be interpreted in two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. Okay? That's just a little humor. I saw those and I thought, oh, that's funny. I got to share that with you today. But back to our message, though. Looking at the biblical description of a godly man. And in our description here, the first of all, what we see is that, number one, a godly man is a man who understands that where his strength comes from. Okay? A godly man is a man who understands where his strength comes from. You see, we are living in a world that is dominated by an attitude that says, you know what, real men don't need help. Ever heard that? Real men don't need help. They're self-sufficient. They can make it on their own. They can take care of themselves. They can provide. They can protect their families. And if they can't, or if you're too weak to overcome or be victorious over the struggles of life, basically, you're a failure. Right? But folks, I got to tell you, that attitude is completely unbiblical. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Right? Now, think about this. Why in the world would that passage be in God's Word if man did not need help? Man needs help. See, God never intended for man to live life on his own. Matter of fact, it's impossible for man to do so. And the godly man understands this truth. He understands, he knows that if he's going to make it through this life, he must rely on God. And that means, first and foremost, relying on God for salvation, right? Relying on Him for salvation, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, another familiar couple verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? Folks, men are horrible about having to be in control, aren't we? As men, we're horrible about having to be in control. We've bought into the world's lie that the only way something is going to happen is if we make it happen. Right? If we are successful in life by the world standards, it's because of the decisions that we make or the work that we put into it. Right? We are in control of our own destiny. We are the breadwinners. We are the key to our own success. And tragically, many have believed that lie. And they believe the lie that we are the key to our own salvation as well. And this idea of resting or trusting in the Lord with all our heart, leaning on Him for life and salvation, that goes against everything that the world teaches, right? And that even goes against our very nature of prideful, sinful selfishness. But as it says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. So if a person, man or woman, if a person is unwilling to believe God's truth about their absolute sinfulness, their total depravity, and their helplessness to do anything about their sinful condition, if they're not, or I should say, if they're unwilling to believe that they need Christ's righteousness credited to their account in order to be declared righteous in God's sight, and if they think they can somehow attain God's holy standards on their own by the works of their own hands and therefore reject Christ's free offer of salvation, of forgiveness, choosing instead to control their own lives rather than surrendering their will completely to the Lordship of Christ, they will not be saved. And as I've mentioned before in my own life, I have a friend who is going through the family tragedy, the loss of a loved one, And the topic of where my friend would spend eternity came up when I was talking to him. And after a lengthy conversation about it, it came down to this one sentence for him. And I'll never forget him saying this. I'm just not ready to give up control of my life. Praise the Lord, he has since then. But when he said that, I'll never forget that sentence. And folks, that's what it's all about. Who has control of our lives? Who has control of your life? And the godly man, he knows and he understands that unless he surrenders completely to Christ, he will not be saved. And that surrender involves humbling himself. Right? Matthew 18, 3 and 4 says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Godly man understands surrender involves humbling himself before Almighty God. A godly man also understands that, as we said before, God never intended for him to live life on his own, and that he must trust God for strength to live holy and blameless before him and others, right? Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31, if you want to write that down. Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Folks, if a man or a woman tries to live the godly life apart from Jesus Christ and or apart from the leading, the guiding, the directing, and the strengthening of God's Holy Spirit, they will stumble and fall. If we don't walk in submission to God's Holy Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis, if we walk in our own strength, in our own wisdom, we will carry out the desires of our flesh, which is an offense against the holy God of the universe. And we will not be fulfilling our God-given purpose in life, which is to glorify God, right? Our God-given purpose is to glorify Him. To do that in and through everything that we think, say, and do. Everything we think, say, and do. Remember, God blesses us in so many ways. One of the ways He blesses us is with time. How are we spending our time? All these moments that we have to glorify the Lord, how are we spending them? In everything we think, say, and do, are we seeking to glorify God? The godly husband and father or the godly woman knows and understands that in order to have the strength to make it through this life, both physically and spiritually, they need to rely on the Lord, right? They need to rely on His strength. We can't make it. If we don't rely on His strength, we're going to get weary, we're going to get worn, we're going to get battered, we're going to get bruised, and our effectiveness for Christ is going to suffer, right? Next, we see that the godly husband or father also understands that he needs to lean on Christ for provision. For provision, Philippians 4:19, another very familiar passage. My God will supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What an awesome verse that is. You know, probably the biggest problem that Christians face today is a lack of focus, right? A lack of focus. More specifically, focusing on the wrong things. When God regenerates the heart and gives understanding, when He so graciously convicts man of his sin, and grants to man the ability to repent and the faith to trust wholeheartedly in Christ for salvation. And after man has responded by surrendering his mind, emotions, and his will to the lordship of Christ, God then allows and engineers the circumstances of life so as to prove the truth of who He is, which is found in His Word. And those circumstances, whether trials, whether sufferings, whether blessings, they should be viewed, again, for what they truly are. As we've mentioned before many times, they are opportunities to bring God glory. Opportunities to see God's mighty faithfulness and goodness at work. And the godly husband and father, although bombarded with the world's perception that he must be the mighty hunter, the big breadwinner who is successful only if he can provide for himself and his family, he knows that everything, himself, his family, his needs, his desires, his wants, everything is in the hands of the sovereign and loving God of the universe. Finally, God, the godly man, understands that he must depend on Christ for the wisdom, the guidance to both live godly and to lead those in his care. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in my life where I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I can remember times when we used to live in Fargo years back where there was a time when I didn't have a job. I didn't know what to do. No matter where I went, no matter where I looked, I couldn't find work. How in the world are you supposed to provide for your family? How in the world are you supposed to be successful in this world if you can't find a job, right? And I remember sitting on the couch and God just broke me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go, where God wanted me to lead my family. Yet with all the pressures of life, compounded by the world's pressure to be successful, the best and only place that I could turn was to the Lord. Right? And with the assurance that as holy God, he cannot lie. God, Almighty God, cannot lie. With that assurance, I have stood and I still can stand on his promise that when I lack godly wisdom and understanding, if I ask him for it, he will be faithful to give it to me. No strings attached. Right? And Christian men, that is the awesome God that we are to submit to and to obey. And it's imperative that we follow him as we, again, are responsible to lead as we are led. So let me ask you men today, who are you following as you lead your family and your loved ones, right? The godly man, his strength comes from the Lord. That's who he follows. And next, building upon what we just talked about there, the godly man is one who has learned to lead. He's learned to lead, and there are different areas that he's responsible for leading in. For example, the godly man has learned to lead his own flesh. He's learned to lead his own flesh. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want." And then Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Folks, again, man has been given this responsibility. Men, you are responsible to lead as you are led. And those in man's care have the responsibility to trust, first and foremost, to trust God, right? To trust God to care for them, to provide for them, to protect them through the man that he has chosen to be over them. But then you might say today, you don't know what kind of man my husband or my father is, though. I just can't respect that man. He's a horrible leader who doesn't love, he doesn't provide for his family, he doesn't show any spiritual leadership either. And to that, you know what I would say? My heart aches for you. I feel for you. It must be tough, and I can't imagine the strain, the conflict, the physical and emotional stress that you may be experiencing, but I do know this, God does not make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. He knows what you are going through. He knows what kind of man your husband or your father is. He knows the dynamic of your home and your family. And he has given you the responsibility of submitting to that man's God-given authority, because in doing so, you are submitting to God's will for your life. And as your faithfulness to God is exhibited, your example will be seen by your husband, by your father. And someday, perhaps, God will change that man into a godly man. And you can receive an eternal reward because you were faithful. I know it's hard, but that is the truth. So back to the godly man. The godly man chooses to take captive his flesh so that his flesh will not take him captive. Right? The godly person takes captive his flesh so that the flesh will not take him captive. And it's a moment-by-moment decision. It's a decision. It's a choice we make to surrender our will to the will of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't do that, folks, we're going to fail as both men and women. Another area that the godly man must lead, and we briefly talked about it already, is his family. He must lead his family, right? And this is where so many men have struggled and dropped the ball. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, the problem with most men today, especially in our culture, is that they suffer from severe ignorance. Men suffer from severe ignorance, right? They are ignorant of what headship truly is. You see, God has given man the responsibility to be the head of the family. But headship is not being the boss of the family who rules with an iron fist. It's a my way or the highway type thing. No, headship is loving leadership. And for those men listening who, because of their own insecurities and ignorance, they feel the need to lord themselves over their wives or their children in an unloving, egotistical manner, I got to tell you this. God does not show favoritism. Romans 2:11. And at the foot of the cross, and in God's eyes, all are equal, men and women. Now, the Bible calls the woman the weaker vessel, right? That's 1 Peter 3:7. But that's not an insult. Let's get that clear. The Bible calls the woman the weaker vessel, but that is not an insult. It is a compliment. That is a compliment. When God says that the woman is the weaker vessel, he is not by any means saying that she is less valuable. As a matter of fact, just the opposite is true. Men, our wives and our children are gifts from the Lord. And they better be treated as such. They belong to him, right? And as a master who has enlisted us as caretakers or stewards of what is his, including the very valuable treasures of our wives and our children, we had better be very careful with how we treat those fragile and priceless vessels that he has entrusted to our care. So the question, men, how are you caring for your wife and children, for those priceless treasures that God has charged you with overseeing? The godly man understands that it is his privilege, as well as a very important responsibility, to serve the Lord by leading his family in strength and in the love of Christ, right? Another area of leadership to which godly man has been called is leadership of the fallen. Right? Man has been called to serve the Lord by obediently modeling for his family and for others one who faithfully and lovingly shares Christ with others. In other words, he leads by example as he shares. And he shares the truth of man's sin, the truth of his utterly helpless condition, as well as his need for Christ's righteousness to be applied to his account for salvation. And he does it all out of love for his Savior and love for those who are perishing, right? Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Folks, that's the message right there. That's the message that all believers, men and women, need to proclaim. So the question again is, are we allowing Christ to use us as his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece so as to fulfill his mission of seeking and saving the lost? The godly man is. And then lastly, the godly husband or father has learned to love. He's learned to love. First, he loves. First of all, he loves his Lord and Savior, right? In response to God's love and his gift of that regenerated heart with a desire to know him along with the faith and the ability to repent, the godly man has said, Lord, I am yours. Take my life. Let it be, as the song says, consecrated, Lord, to thee, right? 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. The godly man, first and foremost, loves the Lord, Lord Jesus. And secondly, the godly man loves his family. And we've already talked about this when we alluded to the fact that, the only true leadership is loving leadership, right? The godly husband or father loves his wife. He loves his children. And the love with which he loves them is not just some emotional love or some feeling. No, it's a love that says, you know what? I am going to sacrifice for you. And I choose to place and seek your welfare and your happiness above my own. And again, that kind of love is not natural to sinful man, is it? That kind of love comes only from Christ. And then finally, the last love that we see in this godly man today is the love for the church. Love for the church body. John 13, 34 and 35 says this, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Right? Folks, God is glorified by our love for each other. And our love for each other grows. How does it grow? It grows as we spend time in God's Word and time in prayer and as we spend time with each other, investing in each other's lives. So the question to leave us with today, men and women, are we taking full advantage of every opportunity to glorify our loving Lord and Savior by obediently loving each other? And not just in word, but in deed as well. When you see somebody in need, are you saying, hey, be warm, be fed, be clothed, be sheltered, but then we don't do anything about it? Or are we loving practically as well and saying, let me help you. Let me help meet your need. And to do it because I love you, because Christ loves you, and I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A godly man understands that. And you know, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? And again, one of the greatest blessings God has so graciously given us is the blessing of godly fathers, husbands. We need to thank Him for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again. As we said, we have so much to thank You for. We think of the godly fathers that we've had in our lives and godly husbands. We thank You for them. But Lord, I pray for those too who may not have had that godly example of husbands and fathers. Maybe they don't have it right now. I pray that You would give the strength. Give the ability to trust You because You have set that person in that position of authority over us. And Lord, use that person to protect, to provide for, to guide, to lead. And then as we trust You, just pray that You would use the faithful to reach those men so that they too can trust You as Lord and Savior and they can become godly men, the men that You have designed for them to be. Again, for those of us who do have that shining example, thank You so much for that. And above all, Lord, we thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your example. For the fact that You are the sovereign God who's in control of our lives. We want to give You control of our lives, every area of our life. Use us to glorify yourself. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.